Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you already tuned in, thank you for staying with us. If you just got here, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. The article this week, the feature article, is titled Things That Really Matter. If you're a small business owner and you're working hard and you're trying to make something happen, it might be an interesting article for you. I think you'll get something out of it. I already had quite a few nice comments from folks, and I appreciate you getting back with me on how much you liked the article. Ray Keating is our guest, and he is the chief economist with the Small Business Survival Committee. He's a syndicated columnist. He's the author of a number of books, including U.S. by the Numbers and an outstanding index that we're going to talk about today. Ray, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to have you with us. I'm doing great. Once a year, Ray, you join us. Well, you join us many times during the year, but once a year you join us at least once to talk about this outstanding document that you prepare every year called the Small Business Survival Index. And I want you to tell us, remind us, some of us who maybe are not familiar with your index, tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. This is the eighth annual, and what we try to capture with the Small Business Survival Index is the respective policy climates, small businesses and entrepreneurs across the nation. So what we do is we try to rank the states as to how friendly or unfriendly their government policies are towards the small business community. And this year we try to make the index a little bigger, a little better, a little more comprehensive each year. So we're up to 21 different measures of government-imposed or government-related costs that we tie together into one index number.
Well, and as you say, this is the eighth year in a row. I think we've done at least five or six of these on the show in the past. When you rank these states, and that you rank them 1 through 51, including the District of Columbia,
right?
And let's just identify a few of them and talk about them a little bit. And the interesting thing is they sort of gaggle up a little bit. For example, you've got the top three are South Dakota, Nevada, and Wyoming. I mean, why those three states? Why do those three states have in common to make them the top three in terms of being? And by the way, folks, one is a good number in this case. If you're number one, this is good. And in terms of your friendliness for small business, what are those three states have in common that make them so important to small business in their states?
Well, that goes to obviously what we include in the index, and the measures range from personal income taxes, capital gains taxes, corporate income tax, over to property taxes, electricity costs, healthcare costs, crime rate.
Number of bureaucrats. I like that one.
Number of bureaucrats. How many people basically are employed by the government, state and local government, relative to the state's population. So those are just some of the measures that are in there. And the reason that you're right, South Dakota, Nevada, and Wyoming came in 1, 2, and 3, the big pluses for them are that they are states that impose no personal income tax, no capital gains tax, no corporate income tax.
That gives them a big number doesn't it? I mean, that really helps them. Those are big factors, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Those are huge factors, and those states obviously benefit enormously from not imposing those taxes. And it's also, you know, some people question, why do you have personal income taxes in there? Well, you know, as you well know, most business owners pay the personal income tax. Mm-hmm. They're either, sole proprietorship, partnership, S-Corp,
right,
that type of thing. And they're paying the personal income tax rather than the corporate income tax.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I can see why. I mean, South Dakota and Wyoming, I mean, they're both of those states have more cattle than people. So,
well, you know,
so they don't have that many services to provide. And so I could see somebody saying, well, you know, let's throw those guys out. But what about Nevada? I mean, Nevada is really growing in terms of population, isn't it?
So Nevada is the fastest growing state in the nation. And I would say it's no small coincidence that they rank very well on our index and they don't impose these major taxes.
And they're a flight state from California, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And California most certainly is down the other end of the index. They rank 46th or sixth worst on the index. And, you know, you can see the contrast. California, when you look at some of the major indicators, you know, has that state has extremely high taxes. Their personal income and capital gains tax rates, corporate income tax rates are quite high. So there is quite a contrast.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Ray Keating. We're going to talk some more about this survival index that he's created now for the eighth year in a row. Very interesting information. 20 till. Stay with us.
I'm just beginning to see.
Blessing Game, the Small Business Advocate. Ray Keating is our guest. He's Chief Economist with the Small Business Survival Committee, and that's sbsc.org, which is where you can go to find the index, right, Ray?
Absolutely. You can go there, and on the right-hand side, there's a nice icon, and you just click on, and you can download the entire report.
It says Small Business Survival Index 2003. Click that. It'll download in a PDF, and you can have it and just enjoy it to your little heart's content there. Ray, is it reasonable? I know that you like no personal income tax. I know that that's a big indicator that the top states don't have that helps them to get into the top positions. But is that really reasonable? I mean, is it reasonable to believe that these states will be able to not have personal income tax from now on?
Well, sure, if they're smart, certainly hope so. It's it's not just those three states. There are other states that don't have, for example, they have corporate income tax, but they have no personal income tax. New Hampshire,
right?
They tax, I think, interest and dividends there, but no general personal income tax. Florida, Texas, a lot of Tennessee, Washington. Actually, the state of Washington also has none of the big three, the no personal income, capital gains, or corporate.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at those few states I just mentioned, there are all sorts of different kinds. You mentioned, South Dakota and Wyoming being rural. Nevada's high growth. New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
is a small state, but Florida and Texas are very big states. Tennessee, Washington, they're very varied states. So if you, by population, by geographic size, so I don't think it comes down to whether you want a reasonable, manageable, affordable size of government or not.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think that if you look at Texas, Tennessee, and Washington, and Michigan, and Florida, those are about five states right there, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Washington, and Michigan, those are pretty populated states with a lot of industry going on there in those states. And, I mean, what are those guys doing that say, Connecticut, New Jersey, North Carolina, and some of the others, say, Ohio, that they couldn't do?
Absolutely nothing. I mean, it's a matter of politicians making the decision as to what's important.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the tax and regulatory climate across the board, nothing's inevitable here. It's choices made by politicians and ultimately the choices made by the voters in terms of who they put in office as to what's, as to what's important or not. You know, we've seen out in California, now California ranks terrible on the index, mm-hmm. But I did watch that debate last week, and it was really quite fascinating about how much the business climate was talked about, and how it was recognized, certainly not by everybody on that panel, but by a few of the candidates, about how tough the business climate is in California. So
mm-hmm.
It's
Ray, along those lines, you have to be careful. You know, you've heard you have to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of months ago thinking, I said on the show, how cool it would be to see Ariana and Arnold in a debate, with those two voices in a debate. But I actually saw that the other night, and I tell you, I'm still having nightmares over that. And so you got to be careful what you wish for, folks.
No, you can say that again.
But
especially when it comes to politics.
Absolutely, Ray. Have you ever overlaid this index with the economic condition of the country, of the states, and including job creation?
You know, I haven't done it state by state. I've done it in kind of a general analysis, looking at the states that rank among the best and then the states that rank among the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously there are some exceptions, but what generally holds up is employment growth among the best-ranked states does pretty well, usually exceeds the national average. And on the other end, in terms of the states that are ranked poorly, they usually underperform in terms of employment growth.
Mm-hmm.
Another number that lines up pretty strongly is that net domestic migration. Now, that sounds, you know, that's one of those great phrases, I guess, that economists and statisticians want, but that basically just captures how are people moving among the states, you know, exclude international immigration.
Right.
Movement within the country. And there, again, generally holds up pretty well that the states that rank good on the index usually gain population, and the states that are ranking pretty poor on the index usually see an exodus.
See, what I'd like to see, if I were giving you an assignment, which I'd like to be able to do, by the way,
okay.
I wouldn't say, you know, compare all of them. I would say, okay, New Hampshire is number 4, Vermont is 44,
right,
and Maine is 48. Compare those three, for example, or two of those. Compare New Hampshire with Maine, or New Hampshire with Vermont, and you know, what is going on with those two? And then you've got Wyoming is 3, but Montana is 38. I mean, what's the difference there? Those two states are near to each other, and then you can look over here at North Carolina, and say Tennessee. They're
yep,
side by side. North Carolina is what, number 37, and Tennessee is number 7. I mean, to me, that would be a great analogy there.
One thing to keep in mind, though, in this, and I always warn people that this isn't everything that goes into, as you well know, business decision-making.
Right.
You know, as to where a person will start up, expand a business, or invest in a business, there are infinite number of factors, quite frankly, that come into human decision-making. But what we're trying to capture here is government a plus or a minus in that equation. It's not the total equation.
Right.
But it's a big part of the equation, and is government helping or hindering the process? And that's what we're trying to get at here with the index.
I'd also like to see which parties are in charge of each one of these states. That'd be another one there, right? Not that you need anything else to do or anything
well,
like that.
Well, there's a couple of interesting examples if you want to talk about that.
When we come back after these messages, I knew you'd have something good for us. 10 Tips, folks, stay with us. We'll be right back with Ray Keating. He's chief economist with the Small Business Survival Committee. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the next hour, Joe Bailey will join us, and he'll help us gain and maintain some balance in our lives. And Jay Nally, Joe Bailey first, then Jay Nally will join us. And Jay is with IBM. He's vice president with IBM. He's going to talk to us about what big businesses have learned about doing business with small businesses. Looking forward to that. Ray Keating is our guest. He's with Small Business Survival Committee. Don't forget to check out the website, folks, sbsc.org. I encourage you to join their organization and support them. They do an outstanding job. They're pound for pound. Nobody does more for small business than the SBSC does, and they've got an outstanding website. You can also go there and find out how your elected representative voted on small business issues. Did they get an A, a B, a C, or a D, or in many cases, unfortunately, an F? So find out about that. So when you talk to your representative next time at a town meeting, you can stand up and say, "I noticed you got an F in your small business voting recently. We want to fix that." So check that out when you get a chance. Ray, you were going to tell us a little bit about some politics involved in the index.
Yep. And before I do that, about the index, that's another thing that people should take to their state and local elected officials and say, "Listen, we ranked pretty poorly. Why is that? Or where can we make improvements?"
There are 4 pages that you could 5 pages that you could copy. You could make a copy of, and made one of them has all the states stack ranked in one page. You could highlight your page wherever it is on the line, and mail them the other that page and the other four with them that I think are the critical pages, and just staple them together and just say, you know, here's what's wrong with us, or congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of the politics, it's there isn't, you know, this year with the state budget deficits, actually the last 2 years, it hasn't been a pretty picture in terms of what some of the policies that have been instituted in the states. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of tax increases. But one of my interest, there's one state, though, this year that they actually offered a bit of good news. It's the only state that we've been able to find that really has done a major step in pro-growth direction in terms of tax policy, pro-small business, if you like. And that's in New Mexico.
Which is 43rd on your list.
Right. And it's interesting to see the direction they're moving in. You know, Bill Richardson was elected governor last year. He's a Democrat.
Uh-huh. And, former Secretary of Energy.
Right. And
in the Clinton administration.
He argued for and got passed a multi-year reduction in the state's personal income tax rate. So it'll go eventually go from 8.2% there to 4.9%. Even more dramatic, the capital gains tax, which also stood at 8.2%, will eventually go down to 2.45%. Now, that's a pretty dramatic, once it's all phased in, that's a pretty dramatic positive step, and that will help New Mexico.
So you don't like, we may not like Mexico's number, but we like the trend.
Right. And then you've got, you know, interestingly, a neighboring state on the index, if you will, is New York. Now, they rank 45th, 7th worst.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
This year they're an example of, I think, in pure dollar numbers, they passed the largest tax increase in the country this year. They raised everything. They raised personal income taxes. They raised sales taxes.
Now, the irony here is that that Richardson is a Democrat going in the right direction, according to the SBSC's index, raise index. And of course, the state is still under a governor, a Republican governor, but... it is under a Republican governor, and of course now New York City is under a so-called Republican mayor. So that's what's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the picture gets even worse in New York City because they have their own additional income taxes and things like that, and they hike those as well. So New York City has really been hit hard in terms of their competitive position.
You can't really say it's, you know, Democrats raise taxes and Republicans cut taxes, can you?
No, it's mixed. And to be fair to Governor Pataki in New York, he had proposed his own tax increases. But what the state legislature did, one house controlled by Democrats, the other house controlled by Republicans, they went and raised the taxes even more.
So if a little tax increase is good, a big tax increase is better. Is that what they said?
You've got it exactly. And so that's... It serves as an interesting contrast. I think most of us, there's a prevailing assumption out there, I think among most people, that Republicans are supposed to be more tax-friendly and Democrats like bigger government and
it isn't always,
often resort
not
to
always
higher
the
taxes,
case.
But it's
Ray,
not
you get a lot of response off of this. I know, folks, you'll see this index in articles for months to come. Find this report on the sbsc.org's website. And print it out and give it to your elected representatives, your state representatives, and your governors. Ray, thank you for being here. Good job today.
It's been great. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Ray. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, and I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.